Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. It's Living and Thriving time. And guess what? I'm Rusty. Even when I roll out of bed, there's a little squeak. But yes, the curse will live on, the name Rusty. Anyway, having fun is the only way to be during this pandemic. Living life, breathing, exploring, cleaning out your inside. And I mean that emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, and even what you're eating. It's time to get off of vacation food. I don't know how many of you out there have actually gained weight because, well, we have such access to so many yummy recipes on YouTube. God, what great teachers on YouTube, right? You can cook almost anything. Stay off of YouTube. Stay out of the refrigerator. Put a lock on it. So it's Living and Thriving time, and I feel like the most blessed person in the entire planet because I get to be this bag of water surfing on a giant rock, rolling into infinity, or roaring, as I would probably do. But even cooler than that is I get to travel around the world talking to hundreds of people about living and thriving. What they're doing right now during a pandemic to better themselves, what they're reevaluating in their lives, how they're actually exposing themselves to new ideas and thoughts and expanding their mind, liberating them, their mind in a way that, well, maybe their values and priorities are going to kind of shift. And is there a normal that's going to happen after this? I don't think so. I think we're going to shift into more of a virtual life. And I really, oh God, I really hope that we prioritize from things and consumerism into self-love, family love, friend love, and being far more into the environment and into time and space and appreciating. I think that's the real big one, appreciating what you do have. If anything that people have learned at this time is that our priorities are kind of screwy and we need to get down to earth, chill out, breathe, stretch, and say, okay, what out of this whole pandemic situation do I want to make sure I keep incorporated into my life? Mine is just continuing to host these shows. And you know, you guys know the bigger dream, those who listen and watch my vlog. The big dream is to have a beautiful C-class RV delivered magically, and I get to take the show on the road and actually meet people face-to-face and learn about them and love them and embrace them, because the fabric of our society, of our world, are the everyday people doing extraordinary things. Not A-list celebrities, none of that stuff. Yeah, they work their way to get to where they are, and that's really super awesome, but we have millions of amazing people doing amazing things right here in our own backyard, in our front yard, in our side yard. Did you know that your neighbor did? Who knows? That's what the whole exploration thing's about. And so I'm super duper excited about having Dean Roberts on, because he read something a long time ago and it inspired him to pick it up and put it back, write it down and do it. And Living and Thriving is all about that. So, Dean, I have to let you know something very honest. I'm going to be very transparent with you. I've been calling you Robert all day. I hope you don't mind.
Not at all. It's not the first time.
It's not the first time. Well, you have two first names or two last names.
I know. Dean Robert can go either way. It gets turned around at least 30% of the time.
That's okay. Most people don't acknowledge the fact that a woman could actually be named Rusty. Most people think I'm a man. Or when I introduce myself as Rusty, they're like, oh, hey, Rosie. Hey, Roxy. Yeah, sure. I'll be Rosie today. I'm good.
I thought you were a man until I saw you. Excuse me.
Yeah, it's that 8th grade English class that everybody seems to skip. You know, I and IE is always the feminine.
Yeah.
Cracks me up. Anyway, so Dean, you have an extraordinary story, and I'm really excited because I think you're in New Jersey, right? New York, New Jersey?
Upstate New York.
Somewhere in there? Upstate New York. Okay. Because I was stalking your menu that you have, and I was like, oh, my God, I wonder if he's going to be part of my travels. I can just swoop in and get some yummies. You have a great menu.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. So, Dean, who are you? What do you do, and what inspires you to be you?
Well, I'm a series of lucky accidents, probably as much as anything else. I started out living in Brooklyn, New York, during the winter in my grandfather's dairy farm, on which I'm talking to you now in the summertime. And it was really formative. I was just thinking of it this morning, how different my life would have come out if I only spent my time in Brooklyn and Queens later on as I got older. So this being in the country, especially now because I've been staying home with this corona thing, and I so appreciate the land and the gardens and the just being in nature. That was kind of a formative first 20 years. The second 20 years, I got married, had kids, was in several different kind of businesses. The one that was the most successful was a manufacturing company. We made dollhouse kits, outdoor lawn ornaments, puzzle postcards, a whole variety of silkscreen and die cut products. And about 25 years ago, my son took it over. And I kind of retired for about 10 years. And about 10 years ago, my wife and I bought a health food store. So that's the vocational aspect of what I did. And as far as personal evolution, I became a very big fan of Marcus Aurelius at a young age, and I've studied his works and read a little bit of his works almost every day since 1960. And it's helped me a lot to realize that I create the experience. Nobody can make me mad if I don't go along with it. And true of virtually everything that we experience in life. We could take it 100 different ways and react to not what happened, but the way we look at it. And that's oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. It's so important to acknowledge that you have more control over your reactions than the impulsivity that we've grown into. I don't think that impulsivity is actually a natural part of who we are. I think it's just because we're so overstimulated that we just feel like we have to, you know, be impulsive real quick because everything's so, you know, we're preoccupied, we're noisy.
Well, I think we're wired like that. I mean, the two basic skills, survival is just wired right into us, and to react to any sort of a stimulus is, and used to be a question of life and death. That same mechanism now makes a lot of people tense and nervous and upset most of the time. And when I said to get so I could create the reaction instead of having it, that's a long training process. There's no magic switch. You can't just say, oh, I'm not going to get mad anymore, or I'm not going to be tense anymore. It's a process. It's a whole training program, a multifaceted diet, exercise, enough sleep, the right kind of hydration, and personal training and personal management. So
you really have to rewire yourself, don't you?
That's exactly right. And that's where this book came along. I read a book called Hardwired Happiness, and he talked about rewiring your brain and how repetition was a big part of changing these pattern responses to things. Because a lot of our responses are just habitual. We do so that you do, oh, you make me mad. Well, that's, you know, once you say that, you're screwed. You can't find an answer to it. You just got to get away from the person.
Right.
So to overcoming this wiring is, I think, a lifetime purpose. I was 80 last year, and I'm still working on a lot of aspects of that.
Well, we have so many years that we've wired ourselves in one direction that I think it takes a long time to unwire and re-download that information.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, you do a lot of things. What I loved about some of the stuff that you do is you really do a lot of healthy things for your mind, body, and soul personally on top of this book that you wrote. So talk to us a little bit about what inspired you to be healthy mind, body, and soul.
I think that quite often people have to reach a crisis point. You know, you get so loaded, you realize it's only death or change are going to be the next step. And early 60s, I was 70 pounds heavier than I am now. I was asthmatic, and I drank a lot. And I had some sort of chronic bronchitis, and I couldn't even lay down to sleep. And there's one specific night I can see it and feel it even now. I woke up in the middle of the night coughing, and I took a couple shots on my Metahaler so I could breathe a little. Then I lit up a Winston, and I was sitting there. And somehow, I don't know if it was divine intervention or the final accumulation of stupidity, but I had this moment. And I realized that I'm not going to live very long if I stay like this. So the next day I immediately stopped smoking, was the first concrete step. And then I didn't even know where to go for advice as far as diet. I didn't even think my diet was that bad at that point. But I started to listen to Carlton Fredericks, and then he recommended some books from some publishing company that slips my mind now, and I started to read about it. And it's just a long-term gradual process of higher and higher levels of wholeness. And it's
still
going on.
How many years has it been since you quit smoking?
The last time?
I was at a
Hoffman Institute week-long conference, and I was standing out in the rain with two other dummies smoking the cigarettes, you know.
Yeah.
And I looked at them, and I said, wow, it's the last one. Never again. And I quit smoking, and I stuck with it.
7 years now, I think. I think it was either my daughter's 7th birthday or her 8th birthday I quit smoking.
And it's just a question of, with that kind of a decision, it's a question of when awareness gets big enough as how destructive it is, it becomes pretty easy. I didn't really have a lot of trouble the last time I stopped.
Yeah, and it's so refreshing not to have that as an anchor, I think. Like that's the biggest thing for me right now is it's not an anchor. I remember being, 11 o'clock at night, there's a blizzard because I used to live in New England, and running out of cigarettes going, oh, man. I'm good. So healthy eating, losing 70 pounds. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I can remember the same scene, 11 o'clock at night, digging in the garbage for the cigarettes that I twisted the pack in half and put them in the garbage, and I'm digging through it trying to find one that wasn't broken so I could smoke it. So.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, why do we do this to ourselves?
It's complicated, but it's simple, It's the answer is simple, but the motivation is complicated to understand sometimes. 70 pounds was finally got sick of it. I started to learn how to eat, and I started to exercise. I got a fair amount of exercise in my job because I was in manufacturing, and it was a very small company, so I was doing a lot of the work myself. But I still was way overweight and very bad conditions. So I started to jog, and it became running after a while. And then I started to, as I learned more about it, it wasn't too far along though I started practicing yoga, and that was a big help in settling my head down and also in maintaining flexibility and a certain amount of strength. Some of the postures involved a little bit of some muscle power to maintain them. And that's ever since, I've been doing that continually ever since.
Well, what's lovely about it is that you're really taking your time. You really took your time to get into what you needed to get into to become a healthier person. And not many people realize that it's a step-by-step process.
And it's not something that you, it's not a place that you get to. It's an ongoing process to keep it up. Because over the, since 1960, I probably had 50 lapses, you know, where I stopped doing this or stopped doing that. And but it just, it takes a certain amount of will to get back on the program. And I you know, I consciously take cold showers every day. And every morning when I reach up to turn that cold water on, there's like a split second where I say, I can't do this again, but I'm going to do it again. Not because I think it's a healthy thing to do. It is healthy, but because I wouldn't give up that willpower. My whole life would fall apart if I didn't turn that cold water on. I'm convinced of it. So I make it that much of a priority that this, I'm not slipping back on this, because so much of what we get done is just a question of will in terms of creative.
I am not.
Work and
I absolutely respect everything that you do, but there is no way I'm going to take a cold shower. I would freeze to death. I live in Florida, and I still wear sweaters.
I do, too. I'm cold all the time. But I have outdoor showers.
Time,
I go out when it's 15 below zero and take a shower. Because I think that you'd be surprised if you did it a couple of times. I come away with a vigor that I had when I was 18 years old. I mean, it's not just for willpower conditioning. It's a real man. You get your whole body moving. You know, your all of your genes are going in the same direction.
I'd come out looking blue with a soft heart. My heart would just end. It would be over. You're brave.
It's not that.
give us some ideas as to what you're doing right now, you and your wife. What are you guys doing to stay above the pandemic and staying healthy and positive and functioning?
Well, our house is in the middle of 50 acres. That's my grandfather's potato fields. And we have quite a few gardens. And we're outdoors a lot. This we've had some really nice weather these last 3 or 4 days. We have a pond, and a sauna on the pond. So we keep plenty busy. There's mostly working outdoors, and I'm really committed to a writing career. I've created a subscription base of a couple hundred people, and I send out a short email every third day. And I've written this Pick It Up, Put It Back, Write It Down, Do It Now is the third book I've written. And as I'm mentioning that, I want to give it away free to your listeners. All they have to do is go to deanaroberts.com, and they can get a copy. They can get a copy of all three books that I've written for free as downloads. And
that's awesome. Thank you so much.
I've got a lot of other book ideas that I'm working on. The next one is Fix the Money Thing. And because, you know, money is not anything but just another life tool. But if you don't have enough of it, it can really distract you from more important work. And as soon as you get enough for however you want to live, then it's time to really work on the project of evolving yourself. And in my opinion, and that's what I've done. But if you don't have enough money, it can really be distracting. So,
well, Dean, it sounds like you have learned quite a bit in your 80 years. And what I'm curious about, because your farm sounds beautiful, so if you ever need anybody to watch and babysit your farm, let me know, because it sounds beautiful. That would be awesome. It just sounds absolutely amazing. What is your inspiration for writing? I mean, you continue to write. You have your blog spot. You know, you've got a wealth of information. You've lived 80 years around this planet, surfing the big rock. And you've been very fortunate to live not only in Brooklyn, but also on the farm, creating businesses, creating a family. Again, lots of beautiful experience. What is it about writing that just gets you so excited?
It's payback. I've been more than fortunate in my life. I've traveled all over the world and done a bunch of really interesting things. And And now I really feel that I want to give back to the, I want to have, help other people have the kind of experience of life that I have. I see so many people, 70% of the people go to work, they hate their jobs. You know, that it don't have to be like that. You can change, you can grow, you can have a an adventure of life. And I want to be able to speak and teach and influence people to get the picture. We're limited by our knowledge and by our skill set. And if you're not happy with what you're doing, then you got to get the skills to do the thing that you want to do. And you got to develop the knowledge that will enable you to do that. And that's with the, you know, before the internet, it was certainly possible. I've got hundreds of books piled all around my office. But now with the internet, the information is out there. There's people like you that are over and over again talking about different aspects of wellness and why it's so. That's what I want to do. I want to really inspire and help people.
I love it. And we need way more people who are, you know, rooting for the positive and the goodness of life, because there's too much media. I mean, you're 80, so you know what it's like not to have a TV. Do you really need one? No, you don't. There's so much more to life than listening to commercials and how you need this widget and that widget to make yourself look thinner and prettier and your neck wrinkles and the this and the that, you know, and just garbage. It's just garbage. And there's so much beautiful in this world, and I cannot stress enough how much we need to focus on that.
Oh, learn a musical instrument, dance, sing, walk, get out in nature. I got thrown out of high school when I was 16 because I was really not a good student at all. In fact, I was hardly ever went there. That's why they threw me out, because I wasn't going anyway. And from that, ignorant, I couldn't hardly read at that point in my life. And to be able to evolve myself to a point where that I am and see the future of what's still possible for me to do, and not in terms of teaching or anything else except the evolution of myself, I can get so I've got a 2-second trigger. Something goes on, and occasionally I have a flare of anger or a flare of tension, or I start to get a little bit upset about something. And as soon as that red flag goes up, I can turn it off and just go back to gratitude. Gratitude is really, really the magic elixir. It can get you out of any jam if you just turn around and start looking at the incredible blessings of your life and this time, this historic period that we've been born into. I mean, never before. And gratitude. That's the message. If I had one word to tell the world, I'd say be grateful. No matter how tough it is, you could find a lot worse going on.
I think when you sit down and you really focus on the things that you can be grateful for, it's not about lack. It's not about what you don't have or what you want. It's nothing to do with those things. Those are irrelevant. It's when you sit down and you appreciate that sip of coffee and you appreciate the sunrise and you appreciate the breeze going across your cheek. And you appreciate the fact that you've done so much gardening that you're going to take at least an hour to get all the dirt off from under your nails. But all that hard work and all the vegetables and flowers and the beautifulness of what you created.
Yeah.
It gives you a whole new life perspective. You know, I tried this year. You're a gardener. You'll get this. I've never done container gardening. I've always actually had land where I could garden, but I'm in a duplex, so I don't have that privilege. So I tried bucket gardening, which is a very neat concept, and I'm growing sweet potatoes, and they are so happy. They're so happy. They're longer than I am right now, and I'm laughing. I'm like, is it the blues music that I play as I'm puttering around with my plants, or, you know, what is it that makes these plants so happy? And for me, that brings me joy, because not only are my plants happy, but my belly's going to be happy soon, right? So there's that reciprocation of joy that continues when you silence yourself and relax. And right now during this pandemic, I have found it the biggest opportunity to really reinvent my wheel. You know, my wheelhouse was very busy, very noisy, and for the last 8 weeks, 9 weeks, it's been super peaceful, and I've been laser focused with my work, and I feel like I'm on drugs because I'm so happy and my vibration is so high. I don't ever want that to change, you know?
So how do we take that message to the rest of the world that it's not fancy cars or big houses or any of that that has much to do with contentment? It's an appreciation for this brief, incredibly interesting experience of life. You know, that the plants, you know, you say the plants look good. They love you as much as you love them. They respond to, you know, they've proven that over and over again. I got greenhouses where they're playing nothing but loud noises, and greenhouses they play music, and they get much better production with the music and the care of the gardeners. That everything's alive. Everything has a much more than we assume or think about awareness of their surroundings in the world. And that energy that's coming from you is absorbed by the plant as well as the water you give them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're the happiest little buggers. My peas took only days to populate. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll just keep with the blues theme and just the love. And again, you know, I don't know if you know about the rice experiment, one of my favorite experiments that have ever been done, where you have two jars of rice and you're really nasty to one jar and you're really nice to the other jar, and the difference as to the energy exchange. Have you seen that?
I know, I haven't. Tell me more.
It's really interesting. So when the jar that you're ugly to, like you swear at it and you yell at it, and you treat it with lots of vitriol, it actually molds very quickly. Like it turns into mold, black, nasty, gooey, ugh. And the other jar doesn't at all. It's just in peace.
Wow.
It's like in a limbo. And it was a Japanese fellow. If I can find it, I'll send it to you. Amazing experiment. And that really opened my eyes as to what you put out, you get back, right? I don't want to put out yucky stuff because I don't want to mold. It sounds really silly, but that's really in essence what you're doing, right? You're like molding your soul.
It's exactly right. Well put. Yeah, the energy that humans put off, you can sometimes without even seeing people, like when I used to be riding the buses in the subway, I lived in Jersey and I had my business in Brooklyn for a while. You could feel people. You get somebody sit down next to you on the bus, and you could feel their negativity in there. The energy is just so. And I would not change seats, but I would try to defend myself against what they were, what these poor people were feeling. Nothing directed at me. They were just sort of glowing from negativity. And
it actually makes me want to cry. Like I get very emotional because it feels like they're in such pain that they can't get out of their own pain.
No, they are.
And there's nothing I can do, you know?
No. Well, that's what I want to do. I want to do something. I'd like to just help people see what a great, incredible experience you can have here on the planet Earth every single day. I get up around 4 o'clock in the morning, and we have a wood fire. So we keep that going until last week. Actually, we haven't had a fire for a week now. And I sit there, we've got glass doors on our stove, and the dog's on my lap, and I'm having coffee and watching the fire. And there's such an incredible sense of well-being that all's well. You know, thank you for this opportunity, however I got here, whatever it means.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I get up between 3 and 4, and
oh.
I live in the tropical side of Florida. Oh, wait, all of Florida is tropical. I live in Jurassic Park, actually. And I have windows on either side of my room, so I get to watch the sunrise twice. I feel very spoiled that way. I've positioned my bed in such a way where I can see the sunrise from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, and watching it inch up, giving shape to everything that was dark, and birds, they start their cacophony, and then the ocean breeze comes in, and the lizards start running across the screen, and it's like this magical, it's just a magical moment where you get to be given the opportunity to witness life at its very finest. I mean, I am so in love with, I'm usually a zombie by this time of day because I wake up so early, you know how that feels, but I don't want to ever miss it for the world. That morning of, you know, and the way the coffee is and just, oh, such peace. I love it.
Yeah. It's one more opportunity, one more chance to get it right, you know? And yeah, we share this excitement and this enthusiasm for life. And especially in nature, I've been in cities all over the world and I don't like it. I mean, it's just so great to look out and see trees moving in a breeze, and the lilacs are just starting to come up, and we've got daffodils all over the property, and it's just something to be thankful for. And that's the mission, that's the message, that I'd like to take to the world: gratitude. Be grateful.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have to start a podcast.
Don't settle. I don't know. I thought of it a couple times, but I really want to concentrate on this email that I send out. Every third day, I send out a short poem, or never more than 14 lines on anything, whether it's a poem or some sort of amusing on a particular subject. I've been collecting quotes all my life, and I've been writing them on playing cards. So I've got well over 1,000 different sayings. That's a few things that I thought up and a lot of stuff that I read somewhere. And that, I want to build that up so that people could just start the day with that and bring it to every day. I did it every day for 500 days a few years ago. And I could do that again if I get the following for it.
That's actually really exciting. We'll have to figure out how to automate it, though, so that you can spend more time with your wife.
I spend plenty of time with her. We only go to the store once or twice a week before the pandemic, and I've been making these lightning strikes with two or three baskets of food once a week. So, we spend a lot of time together. It's great. It's another
very critical, and we have. You said something, and I'm trying to pull it back around to that very important word. I think you said don't take it for granted, right? Something along those lines.
I don't know that I did, but that is certainly a very good way to look at it. Don't just take life for granted, that it's every day is incredible. Every day has this potential for learning and for a service and for, just appreciation. Be grateful.
Be grateful.
Gratitude.
And did
I
you?
Never looked at it. Yeah, it was a local TED, you know, the TEDx. And I never saw it. Somehow I tried to look it up once. I never got it. So I was on another podcast, and the interviewer was telling me, he looked at my TED talk and I said, where did you see that? I hadn't seen it yet. So this morning actually was the first time I looked at it. And it's about gratitude. And it's poorly presented. And, you know, because I think that kind of presentation is as much performance as it is copy. But I really liked what I had to say. And I hope that I saved the speech because I wound up reading it, you know. And it could have been. Just somehow I couldn't, as much as I practiced, get it down so I could just do it. But
well, now, hold on. We are the worst critics in the whole wide world. And if somebody else said that you did a great job, take it for that and don't own your personal view on it. Because I'm sure you did a great job.
The presentation could have been better. And that's the place to learn. You know, it was a great speech. I really am quite proud of everything I had to say. And even in some few seconds, the way it came off. But most of the time, it could have been different. But all's well. And gratitude. And that's, you know, maybe that's the thing I should just focus on almost completely. But, you know, if you don't have the biology right, our brain is biological computers. And if we don't have that right, we're not going to get our brains right. I think I'm just reading a book now by Daniel Amen about he does a lot of brain scans, and he's talking about how he looks at the brain as a piece of he shows scans where people are so messed up and they're depressed and they're unhappy. And after working with him for 6 months, they scan their brain again. It looks tremendously different, and their whole experience of life is different. And it's a multifaceted program that he suggests that people go by. But that the biology isn't right. If your brain is damaged through a head injury or damaged because you drink 10 to 12 Cokes a day or whatever, however you manage to get it messed up, I don't think any act of will is going to fix it. You're going to have to put together a program and stick with it. And then real change is possible. But if you keep making the same mistakes over and over again, I think you got to accept the same consequences.
Yeah, who was it that said? I think it was Albert Einstein said something along the lines of doing the same thing over and over again. is kind of defeatist. Like, why bother thinking that you're going to change if you're going to continue the same behaviors? And I think behaviors. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think behaviors can be adjusted and modified. And I think the real issue with behaviors is what do you feel that you're getting out of those behaviors? Like, why are you attached emotionally, mentally to that behavior? It's so different than when we were smoking. I mean, I did it out of boredom, right? I don't know why you did it, but when I was smoking, I was bored. I had to go. Go ahead.
I did it because everybody else did it. I started smoking pretty regular when I was 12, and the guys I hung around with were all smoking cigarettes. So, and my parents both smoked, and I can remember sitting in the doctor's office with them one time. My mother, father, and the doctor were all smoking cigarettes, and I was only probably 10 years old, and still it seemed like there was something wrong with that picture. But I went right ahead and smoked anyway.
Yeah, but there's attachment to the behavior is the point. So
yeah.
If you're not willing to look at the attachment, then I don't think the behavior will ever change.
It's a real process. And I think that if you're not studying and reading about different people that we can get so much information that people took years and years to learn in one book. Like Dr. Amen's book, I forget the name of it, about brain scans and how incredibly different people's brains look. And he's talking about Alzheimer's and dementia and how quite a lot of that is caused by lifestyle and head injuries and chemical exposure. Like if you live in a moldy house or something like that, that can really mess up your brain. And it's just, you're not going to have a quality of life if you don't fix that. It's just simple as that. I don't want to make
now, you
it
said that you
conflict.
Had a. That's okay. You were thinking about a quote a few minutes ago. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah. He said that the level of thinking that got you into where you are is not going to get you out. You know, you got to,
yeah.
Or it's paraphrased pretty close, that you need to upgrade your knowledge and your level of thinking to solve certain problems. But the thing is that most people don't even recognize they got a problem or that it's soluble. They just go on eating the same, drinking the same Coke and eating the same potato chips and feeling like crap and getting fatter and fatter. That it's an awareness first that change is possible and we can make the change through study and effort.
All right, my friend, we are needing to wrap up, and the show always goes by so fast. Let us know, you know, three or four things that you think would be very valuable to start today doing to change the way we express ourselves or the way we live our life, the way we think about things.
A simple habit that anybody can take up is listening to podcasts. I mean, your show. There's so many incredible inspirational, motivational, educational podcasts available that every spare minute I'm in the car or doing sacking firewood or whatever I'm doing around here, I listen to podcasts and I've learned so much. And another thing they could do is they go to DeanAroberts.com and get three of my books free. And maybe they'll get some ideas in there about how to motivate themselves to set out a goal, see yourself in a different light. If you're not happy, that's the place to start. Not forget happiness, contentment. If you're not content with your life, there's infinite possibilities to learn how to change and grow and attain the skill, because that's a skillful life is one that you've eliminated the things or accepted the things that are you're upset about or tense about.
And don't forget that you have your email list too. Everybody needs to get up on that too.
Yes, please. When you get the free books, you'll have an opportunity to sign up for my every third day bit of musing about how great life on Earth is.
All right. Dean, you have been super. I am sending you an email right now with the rice experiment. I was able to find it. I think you'll really get a kick out of it. And if you have grandkids, it's a great experiment to do with the grandkids.
Okay. Is it okay if I sign you up for my email?
Absolutely. I would love to. Yep.
Thanks.
All right, Dean, don't be a stranger. Enjoy your beautiful farm. And, you know, I am kind of jealous. I do miss the farm life in that way. It's just so nice. But
if you ever travel, we're about 200 miles from New York, but if you ever travel up this way, we'd love to have you. We've got guest accommodations separate from the house.
Perfect. Perfect. I might have actually keep you in the loop on that because I'm planning to do some really good traveling this summer. I need to get out of my own space and expand my mind. I love it.
I live in
Dean,
Bella
big
for
hug.
Years. Go ahead.
Huh?
Sorry. Yeah, that traveling by trailer, you mentioned getting a motorhome. I've done that for a couple of years. It really is very, very – my wife and I just finished reading Travels with Charlie by Steinbeck, and it's about his sojourn with a camper all over the country with his dog. And it's a great thing to do. I strongly recommend it.
I believe that in order to have an opinion, you need to have perspective. And you don't have perspective unless you can – explore the world and listen and observe. And really, I think a lot of people should just shut up, to be honest, and just listen, because perspective changes your complaint.
Absolutely. You still think you got, what's that? You feel bad because you don't have any shoes, so you saw somebody with no feet?
Yeah, the Shakespeare thing. Yeah.
Something like that. Absolutely.
Everything's about perspective. So even when you're reading social media and things like that, and you see these very tert postings that are, you know, hardcore beliefs, and you just kind of scratch your head going, huh, well, when I went over here and learned about this particular subject, it wasn't quite like that, but okay. I think it makes you a much more rounded person.
Oh, definitely. Travel is the greatest educational experience. And whenever I come across something like that, I just send them love. You know, God bless you, brother. I hope you can find a way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's an interesting world we live in. And, but it's beautiful. And that's why I do what I do. I want to get the RV and go cross country, across the world, meeting people like you and having this conversation live and in person, because I think there's not enough of this in everybody's face like there is of the negativity. You know what I mean? So that's my big goal.
You look at the podcast world, it's incredible. I don't know if you've done any meditation or not, but Joseph Campbell has been a long-term teacher of mine. And he's got a podcast, and Dave Asprey and Tim Ferriss, and there's a whole variety of people that have got tremendously interesting and and informative guests on all the time. And there's fast-breaking developments in nutrition and even in brain science. So that, yeah. This,
oh, absolutely. This is, but I'm referring to the billboards and the radios and the TVs and everything else that you're inundated with. Podcasts is a very small world in comparison to all the other stuff. So my goal is to make this show so big that it overwhelms that other stuff and people are more interested in having a good time than that stuff,
well,
you know?
You think of any way I can help you with that, I'd love to.
You're definitely on my list, Dean. I think you and I have some talking to do soon. But I have another guest in a few minutes, so I just want to wrap up and give you lots of love and hugs, and I hope that your gardens bloom beautifully and that you get to write wonderful stuff, and I look forward to your emails in the future.
Okay. Great to meet you. Take care.
Bye, Dean. Have a good day. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and this is exactly, it embodies exactly what Living and Thriving is all about. Here is Dean claiming that he had a hard time in school, but he was actually so smart, they just didn't know how to wrestle him down. They just had to wrestle him down a different way. And look, he couldn't read very well, and now he writes all the time, and he loves it. So no matter what bumps you have in your road, think about this. No matter what bumps you have in your road, if you really want it, if it burns a fire in your belly, if it gets you excited, if you feel high because you know this is it, this is what you're supposed to do, you will make it happen. Dean made it happen. I made it happen. We kick ass. We don't take any names. We got this. So it's really important for you to just breathe and know that what it is that you want, you can have. You can make happen. One foot in front of the other, a little bit of breath, and take a break from social media. Focus on your goals. Crush them. Crush those goals so that you can live in your highest potential with the fullest vibrational way that you can. Trust me, you'll never look back. It is so amazing to be on this side of the road. Know that you're loved. Know that you're beautiful. And hey, do something good for yourself. Do something good for somebody else. Or both. Or all of it. Yeah, let's do all of it. I want to play.
Living and thriving with Rusty.